Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world, welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things.
Do you need to change this, like, introduction? Because it says in it, with me today from sunny London, England.
I mean, that was the original one. I haven't changed it all season.
You haven't changed it? Yeah.
With me today, from... in my boudoir.
It's back! The boudoir's back.
We have the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate?
Swell. Swell is going to be my thing from now on. Ooh.
Is that super well, or is it?
We've had this discussion.
I'm fairly sure I have this discussion with everyone
about the word swell.
Swell.
As soon as it's used.
So I'm so well. You're so well
that you're swell.
You're swell.
Well, it's not like tis. I think it's literally a word by itself.
But swell is to engorge
the wellness.
No, to swell. When something swells, it engorges.
Yeah, but
it puffs up.
It's like there's words that have the same spelling and everything, but that are different in meaning. I can't think of them. I should be able to know this being a... But I'm a primary school teacher. I don't need... I'm not an English teacher or whatever.
You say swell, and they're like, are you mispronouncing well?
Yeah, exactly.
Kids, man. They're stupid. We love all children.
what's your name?
My name is Nick Busink, and mate, this is probably the most amount of clothing I have worn.
Oh yeah,
all season. Everything's long sleeve.
It's nice to
not
see.
Not a
you.
Shred of skin is being shown.
It's wonderful. I don't even want to see your hands next week. You're wearing gloves,
just gloves,
a face mask, and a beanie, and some shoes.
And some shoes.
Shadow's feet.
I'm not wearing shoes. Yet.
Cut your toenails,
mate. That has no toenails. my big toe has no toenail.
We're talking about toenails on a podcast. We're getting into weird and wonderful territory. Banter time over.
Banter time is officially over. And it's now for the official plug.
Jesus Christ.
We follow this doc to the letter.
We don't really. We do at the start, and then it just all falls
just
apart.
It goes apart, yeah. Okay. All your good work over the week.
Exactly.
All right, you can contact us on Twitter at JmanJBT. At the J-Man, JBT, rather.
Or
JBT Nick is myself. We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network and news website where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you follow them on Twitter as well, at OTG Basketball. Mate, what is dropping on OTG this week?
The top 10 has officially dropped today. Check
today.
It out.
Today.
Breaking. Lots of content. You know, if you want to hear who have... Well, there's been a lot of conjecture about the positioning of Nikola Jokic with Kyrie Irving. And Nick Busing, ladies and gentlemen, is at 60 followers. He's there. Next week we're checking. Is he going to get to see...
I'm going to add this to the template.
Yes! You're doing
Nick's
it!
Follower watch.
I'm going to guess that you're going to go down to 58 by next week.
How depressing.
Yeah, I think you will go back. Because some booty bots will drop off. They'll jump on someone else's bandwagon. Because you're not giving them cash from Russia or some shit. Or flying them over. But was there anything else in that thing you were saying?
Facebook.
Oh, that's the one.
Facebook.com/justballthings.
Doing alright over there.
We are doing alright over there. We're posting a lot of highlights.
Yes, we are.
For some fire content there.
Give us
a like and a follow there as well.
Do it.
JBTpodcast@gmail.com if you want to contact the show with anything you'd like to say.
Yep, I like it. And I like the Busick Manuel Scale.
The Busick Manuel Scale is a beautiful, beautiful creation. And for those of you who are new, it's a JBT created scale.
It is.
That sums up how likely things are to happen across the NBA. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. In that order.
Nick.
First one here, mate.
Yes.
Jimmy.
James Harden.
Jimmy H.
Beardsco. Beardsco.
Beardsco.
I was going to
ask.
Yeah, Beardsky, but then I went Beardsco. I think Beardsco is better.
The beard.
Have,
that got slapped. You say that?
What?
The
Russian championships? The slapping championships? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I can't remember who it was.
The start of every first Busick Manuel, we divulge completely in the wrong direction.
He went for a steal, but went, like, sort of slapped upwards
was
and copped Harden in the face.
Was that against the Spurs yesterday?
I can't remember who it was. Harden was not happy.
I saw a Harden flop yesterday or something. And I thought we'd...
You're good for one of those again.
I thought we got away from that. But, Nick,
anyway, Jimmy.
I put this in because of you. So yes. You introduced it.
And I've been pro James Harden for a while. James Harden is the true MVP.
This is an alternative fact.
This is not an alternative fact, but it's not a fact either. It is this awkward...
That's the definition of Twitter and Wikipedia, the in-between. But how strong is it?
Well, that's the question. I mean, I'm not denying Giannis.
So you're picking James Harden for MVP?
Personally, yes, I would be.
Fine.
But I don't think he's going to win because I acknowledge that I'm in the vast minority.
I don't think you are. I had this conversation with some mates yesterday at footy. And I said that in these last 10 games or so, however many that the Houston Rockets have, if he puts up 4 or 5 games of 50 points plus, that recency bias could have a big effect on MVP voters. Whereas Giannis is just consistently putting up like 25-10-10 or 25-15-8 because he's rebounding like a madman. And whereas Harden has these more elevated games, these more House of Highlights worthy games where he's having step backs from 40 feet out. Whereas Giannis is just dunking like a madman. He's playing like Shaq 2.0 in a point guard's body. I guess I'll go Twitter because I think it's a bit hard to go all the way back to alternative because I think James Harden does have a relevant case, like you say. And I think the people that just discount that are silly and
I think
and
it's going to be a closer race than a lot of people give it credit for. So
it's not going to be some tortoise in the hair shit.
No. Yeah. I mean... Yeah, that's right. I mean, a month ago were saying how clear-cut it was of Giannis, and I was still on James Harden. I'm like, this guy has not only elevated his game to new heights this year, scoring, I would like to think that this is the
highest, I believe, of all time he is right now at 36.1.
Not only that,
like that,
but his single-game accomplishments offensively have broken...
Many a record.
Countless records.
Or Wilt. Like, it's the Wilt record.
Like,
standard. Wilt and MJ-like standard. Like, if you're in the Wilt and MJ standard, which James Harden has been consistently, I think it's more... This sort of debate is a more existential debate about what we value in basketball and what we value in players and how we value them. In terms of James Harden, stylistically, he's not my favorite player, but tremendously appreciate his efficiency, his shot making. Whereas Giannis, for me, epitomizes what I love about basketball in terms of what I've always loved about basketball is the athletic feats that I know I can't do. Whereas James Harden, I'm like, look, I could learn how to do a step back. I mean, I'm not going to be good at it, but he's a couple of inches taller than me. Whereas James Harden is just, Giannis is just this statuesque god who has power, athleticism aplenty, that he's a man marvel. And that's partly why I probably gravitate more towards that, like LeBron, these just physically gifted, unique human beings. But at the same time, I also have a tremendous appreciation for a guy like Stephen Curry. And for him, it's almost like he does it in a more aesthetically pleasing way. So I think the aesthetics debate is what really drives this conversation. And it's almost a debate about basketball itself, this James Harden versus Giannis thing. It's like the same year when it was James Harden versus Russell Westbrook in that MVP conversation. So that's partly why, for me, Giannis is... And I know that's why you probably value James Harden more, because you appreciate the things that he does more on a more regular basis than I do.
Mm-hmm. His offense... Yeah, well, I mentioned it before. His offense is... unprecedentedly good. I'm fairly sure I butchered that word, but whatever.
I don't know if unprecedentedly is a word. Keep going.
We will research.
And if not, it's going to be the name of the podcast.
But watching that Spurs game, and I know it's a bit of an isolated situation, because I don't get an opportunity to watch a hell of a lot of basketball. Watching that Spurs game, and I'm sure this has happened in previous James Harden games as well, gone absolutely off.
It's not a word, by the way.
It's not a word. Okay, never mind.
Unprecedented is it, but unprecedentedly good. Unprecedentedly is the name of the podcast.
Okay. God damn it, I lost my train
just
of thought.
Harden and...
Yeah, yeah. So, like
against the Spurs.
What he's doing is tremendous. What he was doing against the Spurs is that he's making the Spurs defend him differently. He only shot... 17 free throws in that game. He made 14 of them.
Yeah.
Of his 61 points, 14 points came from the free throw line. That's a small percentage given Harden's 61. General...
Yeah.
You see 61, you expect 20 plus from the free throw line.
It's true. It's true.
But he scored 47 on the field.
Yeah.
Because Spurs were adamant not to foul him.
Yeah.
They would happily give him open lanes. Like I saw a couple of plays where he would just get the defender on his back and the defender was just like, nah, I'm not doing this.
And it's funny because they were sort of the prototype in terms of how to defend him in the first place when we saw a couple of years ago in the playoffs, in terms of how they defended him, the Manu Ginobili block. And the sort of faltering narrative around James Harden, which still lingers with me a little bit. And I know the regular season is the MVP is a regular season award. And based off that, you know, James Harden is 1A in the conversation.
So. But he's like, the fact that he is so efficient everywhere on the court is testament to...
He had that minor blip before this recent burst. Post All-Star break where like he was shooting 25% from three on like 13 shots. And I mean, yeah, you take... And this is probably where we need to nitpick because these two are so close in this award. Whereas Giannis's consistency, I think, has rarely wavered. And I mean, you can argue that the heights.
But
of
then
James,
the heights of James. Exactly.
Exactly.
The heights of James Harden are so much higher.
And I mean, we might have to put a poll out there. Let us know your thoughts. JBTpodcast@gmail.com. At the JBT Nick. 60 followers. 59 by the end of this episode, I reckon.
Yeah.
I might have to take a look. But Nicholas. Ryan Russillo, Silskis, Kyrie Irving doesn't deserve an All-NBA spot. This is This is takey, to say the leastkies.
This is quite hurt.
Hurt?
Hurt.
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 Hot.
No, hurt.
Hurt.
Hot.
Hurt. What, is that an impression of something?
No, sort? I don't know.
You just say
being
things?
Just being weird.
Good for you.
Bros doing dudes. That's not the drop.
Buddies! How much sleep did you have last night?
I had a lot of sleep.
You've probably overslept.
I had a lot of sleep.
Kyrie Irving doesn't deserve an All-NBA spot, Nick.
Instincts say he does, but this is another thing. It's such a tight race because there's
few
names
guards.
That are... Well, the six guards, but there's a few names that are sort of bumbling around in my head.
All right.
That I would need to, like... And let's do it. Let's sit down and... I mean, I'm sitting down.
You are, so
I'm already halfway there.
Stand up. Well, there's been...
And go through it.
This comes through, you know, Bill Simmons, Zach Lowe. They've been doing it quite consistently. And I'm going to base this off a little bit off the OGD's Top 50. Check it out, OGDBasketball.com. And Kyrie Irving we had at number 9 in our ranking. So, I mean, in terms of who your two guards are going to be in the first team, it's Steph and James Harden.
Yep.
That is, without question, the first team All-NBA guards. And when you get to the second team, that's where it gets a little bit tricky. Do you go Kyrie Russ? Which is probably what I would do.
No Lillard?
Sorry, I would go Russ Lillard.
Okay.
Or,
that's probably what I would do.
Or actually, is it Kyrie Lillard? Because Russ's efficiency has been so putrid, but he's still averaging a triple-double. What do you think? Who would you have a second?
I think the fact that he's deferred to Paul George a lot.
I'm going Kyrie Lillard. Yeah, I'm going Kyrie Lillard.
A second team.
Yeah.
Who would you be putting Kyrie ahead of Lillard? Not that it matters, but like.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they're just.
I know, but like. Just you.
I put Lillard.
Who was your first pick for
this
the
season?
Second team?
So
Kyrie or Lillard?
Oh gosh, that's hard. I've had this
like splitting hairs.
I've had this debate with Corey on the outlet as well on YouTube, and this was one that got a bit heated. And I went with Lillard at the time, but at the same time, I do value. And I think this is where I come, and a lot of people have this similar conversation in terms of when it comes to splitting those hairs. Who do you think is a better player? I think Kyrie's a better player,
mm-hmm.
So I'll go with Kyrie.
Okay. Just on sort of just sheer reputation, I guess.
Yes. Despite the fact that Damian Lillard might be having better numbers, better efficiency, blah, blah, blah. I think Kyrie Irving's a better player. And he's had a really good season. I think it's gone under the radar a little bit.
It has, given the sort of internal struggles of Boston. And that's the only reason why he's getting knocked to this.
Yep.
His shooting splits are 49, 40, and 87.
It's really good. That's really close to 50-49.
That is incredibly good. 25 PER.
Yep.
24 points a game.
And 7 assists.
Like, you look, yeah.
Like, that I don't think that should be overlooked, because early in Kyrie's career, LeBron James said it himself, we need more ball handlers, we need more playmakers. Kyrie Irving, I believe that's got to be a career number, isn't it, Nick?
Higher than his career average.
Yeah, so he's the highest before that was 6.1 in his third season in Cleveland. So he's at 7 assists per game. I believe that would probably be at least top 20 in the NBA, if not maybe top 15. So he's grown in a lot of facets of his game. He's gotten better as a defender as well. But we need to. The point is, I have him. He's on my second team. So Ryan Mussillo, this is a complete alternative fact for me.
Yeah.
Is he on your second or third?
He would probably be on my third.
Who's your second?
Probably Russ. And I think what he's done at OKC is admirable, but having Lillard there is a must.
And then who's
the Blazers? A third, fourth?
I think. I believe the standings yesterday were like from fourth to like seventh. Every team was on the exact same.
Super close. So like it's without actually
having a quick look. Go to Google. Google, just type in NBA standing. But I guess that begs the question: who's the sixth guard on your list? And I mean, should we just transition immediately to Wizards Wolves?
The Washington Wizards are making
noise.
Wizards
work!
Drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
Thank you for announcing it mid-music, Jack. Love your work,
mate. I didn't hear it!
That's all right, neither could I.
Before we get to it, what are the standings like right now, Nick? And don't go to the East.
Western Conference. They're fourth at the moment behind the Rockets.
So the Blazers have 44 wins. The Thunder have, is it 44 or 40?
43.
Clippers have 43. Jazz have 42. Spurs have
Thunder have 42. Three more losses than the Blazers, though. So I think the Blazers are safe. They've got two games in hand.
That fourth spot was certainly handy for the home court advantage. Yep. But Wizards woes, we are directing deeply straight into it, because as the Bradley Beal will make an All-NBA team. We got up to literally our third team right there. The last guard position. Because you have Kyrie in your third. So he's the fifth guard.
Yep.
So the sixth guard essentially comes down to Kemba Walker, Bradley Beal, and you want to chuck in a Ben Simmons or I don't know. But for me,
just for reference as well, I think Russillo had Kemba in his second team.
Yeah, and I just don't buy it because the Hornets have been trash.
But that's the reason. That's probably the reason why I'm putting an alternative fact on this one, because I don't think...
You don't think Beal deserves to be an All-NBA? Really?
Because Kemba's taking that last spot.
Really?
I know. It hurts.
Wow.
I actually think
this is a fact.
You reckon?
I think, he's
stepped up a lot.
This is the best version of Bradley Beal we've ever seen.
His efficiency is...
His passing.
Is bad. He's only averaging 5 assists a game. 5.3.
Yeah, but like at this... But I think...
You look at these top echelon guards and they're averaging around Kyrie 7,
but they're point, 6. But they're point guards. Bradley Beal isn't a point guard.
Yeah, okay.
So like, I think that you take into account Bradley Beal's growth. I think that, and I get what you're saying.
He has elevated his game.
He has.
I'm not denying that.
Maybe the three-pointer.
But so is Kemba.
I think Kemba has maintained. And there was like that really...
I think Kemba's gone up another level this year.
I don't think we're going to see him go up another level again. I think Bradley Beal's... And I mean, this is what we're basing off this season.
Bradley Beal's middle name? Emmanuel.
Oh, that's a sexy, sexy name.
That is beautiful.
You should just get like Bradley Emmanuel. You need to get like an Emmanuel.
Kemba's middle name? Hudley.
Hudley! Hudley's not the...
That's the... I've never even heard that name before.
I don't even know what... Is that a word?
Alright, I've changed my mind.
Oh, you...
We've got to get Emmanuel in there.
Emmanuel College, baby. Shout out. I think the reason why I have Beal in... And I mean, I remember early in the season, Kemba Walker was like MVP standard. Remember like really early on, he was putting up insane numbers. So I guess if you hark back to that, the peak of Kemba Walker this season is greater than the peak of Bradley Beal. So, I mean, I think you're sort of flipping a coin here. But if we're basing it purely off the Bismack Biyombo deserves an All-NBA spot, Bradley Beal does deserve an All-NBA spot. It just, does he deserve it more than Kemba Walker? I think he does. But I'm probably overlooking the greatness and the awesomeness that Kemba Walker has shown this season.
Kemba's got a greater cult following outside of Charlotte.
Because you've got the college UConn thing and everything.
Then Bradley Beal does outside of Washington, yeah. I'd say.
And I mean, they're both small markets and stuff, but it was nice to get the Wizards' woes up a little
bit. Yeah, just throw it in. It's just change it up.
We're putting our Spotify JBT playlist on shuffle. Chris Haynes, Pascal Siakam has the best case for MIP by a decent margin. Now, this is, I'll put it straight out there. It's an alternative fact, baby. D'Angelo Russell.
Ooh, yes, I knew that one was coming.
Yeah, of course you did. No, and objectively speaking, I don't think it's a decent margin anymore, but it's a margin. I think that the only... early in the season, it was like Zach LaVine had it down on point.
Yeah.
It's funny, because I've been so immersed in this season, I now remember specific points and, like, you know, the lulls and, like, Nikola Jokic's lulls and stuff. And then there was the De'Aaron Fox rise as well. He had, like, a massive month. He was, like, in all-star conversations. And then D'Angelo's maintained his consistency since the all-star break. He's had a little bit of the down, a very minor lull in Spencer Dinwiddie's return, but he has gotten that back, and he was really, really good against the Lakers and that game against Sacramento. That's JV team worthy. A little bit of a hint there. But Pascal Siakam, this transformation, it's been insane. And, you know, with him and Kawhi Leonard, those two forwards are the best, like, probably the best forward combination maybe in the NBA right now. You could probably make an argument for Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. But Pascal Siakam, baby, just his spin moves, his athleticism, his defense... His shooting has been really good. He has the ball in his hands. I remember he had a game winner in Toronto. So the fact that Nick Nurse trusted him, she's like, no, we don't. I think Kawhi was out that game. But it's like, normally you... I mean, he's been out a lot of games. But in that sort of aspect, you just expect them to go to Kyle Lowry, set up a play for him. But Pascal has been sensational this season and might be, you know, the second most important player on the Toronto Raptors. He does have the most improved player on lock. I think that's probably... We spoke about awards last week a little bit with Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year. But I think that he will win it. But I think D'Angelo Russell, my boy, deserves plenty of votes as well. And he has said himself, D'Angelo, that he wants that award at the same time.
Yeah, it's... This is hard, because
that's what she said.
Zach LaVine's still averaging 24 a game, which is still really good. But anyway, let's discount him. I am a big D'Lo believer.
Yes, you are.
As I have been a Brooklyn believer this most of this season.
Brooklyn Believers, that would have been a better name from Brooklyn than Brooklyn Bits. Can we change it to Brooklyn Believers?
No. Uh-oh. Brooklyn Bitch.
Because it's just a little bit.
It's just a little weird.
Little bit. Just a little.
Having a look at these stats, it surprises me that D'Lo's only averaging 20.7 points a game.
Yeah, I think...
I thought that would be higher.
I think minutes for D'Lo is a thing that probably... And his minutes have been a lot higher than in the past, but he's only averaging 30. Yeah. And Coach Kenny Atkinson is quite liberal in how, and I think that he would still be leading the team in minutes, but like he will give like Joe Harris might even be on the same sort of mark as him, because we have Spencer Dinwiddie, we have Caris LeVert, so like the way he disperses those ball handling minutes are quite liberal. So, but you know, there's conversations like right now. I think he's the first player before 23 to hit 200 threes and 500 assists in a season. Before the age of 23. I think he's not the only player. I think Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, James Harden, and these other sort of players, Stephen Curry, were the only other players to do that. So, D'Angelo, we spoke about, like, you know, James Harden in rarefied air. D'Angelo Russell has had an incredible season. And on the last Buzz episode, check it out on YouTube, iTunes, wherever you want to listen to it, Nick and I delved into it. You know, the positives and the negatives, because the general coverage around him this week has been exponential. You know, we've heard lots of general NBA types. I'm not sure if you've been listening to many of the pods this week, Nick, but D'Angelo Russell has gotten a lot of coverage based off of that Sacramento Kings game, and then it was the rest of the talk around him. So if you want some in-depth coverage of it, you listen to a Brooklyn Buzz podcast, because we watch him more than any other, more than these general NBA types who I love, but they don't have the same knowledge, because it's like you look at something and you research something so consistently, you just have a wider breadth of knowledge. So, He's certainly two. He's number two in the most improved conversation.
Yeah, you look at the Siakam's impact and his on off numbers, there's a 15-point differential in their net rating.
He is. That's
so, yeah, about 10 points on the offense and then 5 on defense.
That's yeah.
For his on off numbers. So like his stats might not jump out jump out at you. I mean, his stats are 17-7-3.
Yeah, but the fact that he's shooting above 35% from three, would, I think, is quite good.
And 54% from the field as well. Like,
yeah.
A picture of efficiency.
He's so
good. A tremendous,
good at,
like, just link.
Nah.
And makes that team click. And yeah. Then, obviously, like, defensively, he's getting a lot of praise as well.
Yeah, so important. But so yeah, Pascal's your most improved player for this year?
I would say so, yeah. This is I don't think it's by a fair margin though, so I'm gonna give this one a wiki fact.
Okay.
But he is, I mean, he's good.
Yep.
He is very improved.
He
the most
Pascal's is good. Dave Dufour, Andrew Bogan will supplant DeMarcus Cousins in the starting lineup come playoff time.
Mm. What do you,
I know Bogey's my best friend on Twitter. One of his blocked me, I don't know.
Mate, you would only wish to be blocked by Andrew Bogan.
Well, by the...
I mean, he's an old man, he doesn't do a lot of blocking these days.
Ah, not too bad, basketball jokes. We normally do worse jokes in terms of the content and offensive nature of them.
All right. One thing, mate.
Sure, give me one.
What does supplant mean?
Really? Do you really not know what supplant...
I assume replace?
Yes. No, it actually means that you add a plant on top of each other. So it's a double plant. So it's like a double cactus. It's a super plant. It's super and plant put together.
Ah, just like super well. And well.
Can you hear those claps? Let's do a clap right in front of my mic. Ah! I hope that got really loud. That was lame. Supplant means replace, yes.
All right, thank you. Couldn't you have just written replace? You
no, because I was literally
man.
Doing his exact words. I was listening to the pod, okay. Wrote it down. Do not criticize my research. It what makes this pod and its content any sort
all
of...
All right. So my qualms come...
Qualms. Nicky, why are you going? Okay, you're back.
All right. So my qualms are directed to Dave Dufour. Mate.
Davo.
Just say replace, mate.
Okay.
I mean, I just said qualms. I could have just said...
Problems.
Yeah.
Troubles.
I mean, ooh, irks. I like that. Doesn't sound like a real word.
I'm winking.
All right, Andrew Bogut will
Homer,
supplant...
Mr. Burns can't see you winking.
Andrew Bogut will supplant DeMarcus Cousins in the starting lineup come playoff time.
Have you seen much of the Warriors since Bogut? It's almost like he's...
Sitting... I saw his opening game highlights.
Yeah,
so much
he
the game,
fit in
like...
pretty seamlessly.
He's an extremely smart basketball player, and like their loss against Cleveland is so heavily directed to Draymond Green's outage, and the fact that Andrew Bogut was out as well gets
something under the rug.
It goes under the radar. No doubt Draymond Green is a massive out,
yeah.
But the out of Andrew Bogut is a lot bigger than what a lot of people are saying. The fact that it's never brought up.
Yeah, and I think that...
He's an extremely, extremely clever basketball.
And we remember Steve Kerr's first year. It hurts me to give Andrew Bogut praise because he insulted me so...
He dissed you so bad.
So deeply. And the fact that he is an anti-feminist C-word, I will leave it at that. But I can still respect his basketball abilities. This is hard to say because I think DeMarcus will have the token star. I think he needs it for the ego. Mm-hmm. And I think Steve Kerr...
He's never played a playoff series. Which is the reason why I think this may be true. I'm going to give this one a wiki.
Okay. I think I'll give it Twitter.
But he needs to at least start on the bench. He needs to at least start on the court, DeMarcus.
Yeah.
For your ego, for your confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a massive time for someone like DeMarcus Cousins. And
but do you think that Andrew Bogut is a better fit? So, like, say if we're... We know that DeMarcus Cousins had that great game against Houston. So, yeah, you'd probably start him in that series. But in the series against... Utah, OKC, I don't know, where DeMarcus Cousins' value is lesser.
What makes that starting unit better? DeMarcus or
Bogut?
Bogut does.
But DeMarcus isn't going to like that.
No, but imagine DeMarcus getting 20-odd points a game because he's just bully-balling your second team. Obviously,
yeah.
Like it's not going to work like that. But DeMarcus is very much at his best when he's a solo player.
Yeah.
So if you fill him with bench guys who can
It's why that game against Houston, he was so awesome, because Kevin Durant was out, all these guys were playing ancillary roles.
You
and
can
he just
stagger
bullied.
Your minutes with your superstars. You can have someone like a Clay on the court with DeMarcus, because he's just the...
Space it.
He's a superstar role player.
Yeah, he's the epitome of that. But... We'll move on to Isaiah Thomas, who has our next music, Manuel.
Initially, you had some hard feelings when you were dealt from here. Mm-hmm. Has that sort of subsided? And do you ever think about what could have been, like, long-term, if you stayed?
Yeah, we would have probably won a championship already.
Boston, the team that is in the Celtics. That's not correct.
That's the other way around.
Would have won a championship already. If, had Isaiah Thomas have stayed.
Nah, alternative fact, Nick. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this one. We don't know, obviously.
We saw the best version of him.
King of the Fourth.
A legit thing.
Yeah.
He was incredible. The team pushed so hard.
Yeah.
In the playoffs here 2 years ago.
Yep. What he did against you guys. The horrible, unfortunate circumstances surrounding his sister's death as well. The city rallied around him, and maybe that could have continued and led him to championship success.
I think they would have at least made an NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I reckon they could have knocked LeBron while he was... Because LeBron had some unconvincing playoff runs.
I think
that... In that, especially last year.
Yeah. See, I don't buy it. So, I'm going alternative.
The year that they swept the finals, like, was the year that... Thomas did all, like, his sister had passed away and he destroyed the Wizards.
Yeah.
That was when the Cavs swept their way to the finals.
Yeah.
But then the following season, the Pacers gave them a run for their money, taking him to six. Man, my memory's not serving me
right. I know what you're saying, though.
But yeah, and then obviously, if that had been Boston instead of Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals,
maybe.
I reckon Boston could have made it.
Yeah.
And then subsequently lost to the Golden State Warriors anyway. But
there is some validity in the take, Nicholas.
But to win a championship, no, this is alternative fact because your opponents are not Eastern teams.
Yes.
They're the Golden State Warriors. And you would not have been better than the Golden State Warriors.
No, not at all. Nicholas, Matt Brooks on Twitter, Rudy Gobert is insanely underrated, might be a top 15 guy. What do you think?
Wow.
Is he underrated?
I think he's underrated, yes. Because defense is an incredibly underrated skill.
Yeah, do you... we chatted a little bit about Defensive Player of the Year. Do you have him there?
Yes, I do. I have him there most years, the same way Lou Williams is there for Sixth Man.
Yeah.
I have Rudy Gobert...
Rudy Gobert, funnily enough, on OTG's top 15 by myself and Corey Waldron,
is...
15th.
15th.
Literally, averaging 15.3 points a game.
I'd like to know some names after that.
Okay.
If possible.
In terms
so who
before?
You, as in, no, like 16th, 17th.
16th
so, is... Who have you got worse than Rudy Gobert?
Jrue Holiday, Karl Anthony Towns, Bradley Beal,
yep.
Kemba Walker, Ben Simmons. That's your top 20.
Yeah, Kemba Walker's too low.
He should be above Rudy Gobert.
He should be above at least Bradley Beal. I mean, I put him in my...
Jesus Christ, your Wizards fandom has just...
Well, I put him above him in the...
In the All-NBA. I know, I hear. But, yeah, I mean, insanely underrated. I don't agree with that necessarily. I think he is a top 15 guy, so I think that there's facts...
Rated by you. We're talking underrated by the general NBA public.
I don't think he is either.
You don't reckon he is?
No, I think that like everyone recognizes him as like the best defender. I think they underrate.
I think people see the Utah Jazz. Your average NBA fan, Utah Jazz. Ah, Donovan Mitchell.
Average fan, but like I don't. But I still think...
The average fan makes up the vast portion of NBA fans.
It does, but at the same time, I still think that Rudy Gobert is their best player. And I think most...
I don't think most NBA fans of the NBA will be
maybe
like...
Maybe you can...
think that.
Maybe you're better
at... Donovan Mitchell's highlight reel is tremendous. He's clutch, and his offense is obviously... if you're putting it on a weighted scale, offense is like... +2.
Maybe your like ability to associate with commoners is a lot greater than mine.
I value the words of the peasants.
I'm an elitist arsehole, clearly, with everything that has happened.
See, but... I'm Marjorie. I'm in tune with the commoners.
Who's
the,
Marjorie?
The peasants. Marjorie Tyrell.
Yeah.
Whereas you're Joffrey.
Yeah.
You're a dick.
I'm more
who
of
thinks
a...
thinks all the peasants are... Well, exactly.
And
that.
Then, what? So what, you're going to poison me? Did you put poison in my water bottle?
Marjorie didn't poison. But, I mean, No spoilers. Game of Thrones. Don't.
It's coming out like in 2 weeks.
It doesn't matter. People might not have watched it.
All right. Nick, we'll move on to another centre.
Mm-hmm.
M grads on Twitter. Andre Drummond hasn't got enough credit for his form this season. I'm going to give this a fact because I haven't even given him enough credit this season. We have barely.
I don't think we have spoken together about Andre Drummond.
He's featured on JB's a few times. Okay. He's putting up 2020 numbers, I think, more than any other player over like the past couple of seasons.
17 and 15.
I still, it starts an existential debate about what do you value in terms of your center. There's been Mythbusters by Jorge Cantu on OGGBasketball.com. The top 50 debate around him was quite heated between myself and Corey and the general NBA populace because I still don't know how much he contributes to winning basketball and like what he is in like a championship winning team. Would you rather have like a Clint Capella or an Andre Drummond on your team? Would you rather have a Steven Adams or an Andre Drummond? Would you rather have a Jared Allen or an Andre Drummond in your team? Like a more ancillary piece, because Andre Drummond's defense isn't that great, but he's a really, really, really good rebounder and he puts up numbers. So yes, he hasn't got enough credit this season. That's a fact.
Defensive rating is part. Defensive rebounds are part of being a defensive player.
They are, but I think
the same way cutting off passing lanes is part of being a good defender.
Shut up.
It ends the defensive possession. His defensive rating, personally, is 100.
Which is really good.
Which is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But he's a big body. He might not get as many blocks as your Jared Allens. And
I think he probably gets as much.
As you reckon? You reckon as much?
I think he has.
We'll have a look.
Jared Allen gets more highlight.
1.6 blocks.
That's, yeah, I think Jared Allen would be at like 1.3 and 1.2.
That's not bad.
I think that I just don't value it as much because I think it's just more Detroit as a team overall. I see it's as Blake's team, and before Blake was there, it was Andre Drummond's team. And what did they do?
Good point. Good point.
So that's just more around how you value Andre Drummond individually. So yes, he has had a completely underrated season. I've been guilty of that. So this is a fact. Nick, scale before we move on.
Fact. Because he plays in such a like a nonchalant sort of.
Yep.
Just do my thing every night. Doesn't make headlines for good or bad. Like no negative, positive press.
Yep.
And subsequently flies very much under the radar.
Cool. March Madness is upon us, Nicholas. We haven't watched any of it because...
College ball. I've been watching highlights. Bleacher Report have been posting a lot of highlights.
It's just Ja Morant. It's essentially Ja Morant Report. He's nice. He's cool. But this ain't about Ja Morant. We do not speak about any other college player on this podcast other than Zion Williamson. Zionism. We need some Zion. We need to create some Zion.
Zionology.
Zionology.
Did we go Zionism or Zionology? The Church of Zionology.
We didn't decide. I think you were more of a Zionist and I was more of a Zionology. So
Scientology. It works on so many levels.
It does. It does. But Jackson Frank has said Zion Williamson will be a top 30 player in the league next season. Now,
mate,
Nick,
let's go back to your OTG top 50.
You are great minds, mate. Great, wonderful minds. So what we have right now in that range from 21 to 30, we'll go 30 beyond. I'll go 20 from about 25. So at 25, we have Draymond Green, LaMarcus Aldridge at 26, and so on. Is Steven Adams, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and at 30 is CJ McCollum. I think he could be around that.
Did you put DeMar DeRozan below Draymond Green?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Because a lot of this is reflective of the exact time we did it, and DeMar has been a lot better these past few weeks.
That's true.
It's a lot harder to... If we had this running... If this was a running list, it would change consistently.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
It could, and if you guys want that, hit me up on Twitter, at the JamieJBT or JBTpodcast@gmail.com. We can do these sort of things for you. And then around that sort of 30 to 40 range, you've got other players. I believe we had Luka in that range. I'll have to double check. But from 40 to 31. Yeah, so we had Luka at 40, 39 Mike Conley, 38 Chris Paul, 37 De'Aaron Fox, 36 Donovan Mitchell, 35 Eric Bledsoe, 34 my boy D'Lo, Al Horford at 33, Middleton at 32, and Nikola Vucevic at 31. Do you think that he inserts himself into that range?
So your top prospect rookie of this season
yep.
is at
40. Yeah. But is Zion Williamson better, a better prospect than Luka Doncic? I think that it seems pretty clear that he is, but will he have the impact?
I know. It's going to be so hard to see him against NBA players because he's versing kids right now.
But that
like,
was the,
compared to him, he is versing children.
That was the question, though, in high school initially. It was like, oh, he's doing this in high school. Who cares? He's doing it against high schools. But then it's just like, okay, he's doing it against college balls now. And like, you can only play against like, and some of these college prospects.
I mean, you can only play against the yeah, but you're talking to high school. The difference between high school and college, the formative years, no doubt there could be a massive difference. But in terms of age gap, you're thinking maybe 4 years.
Yeah,
you're versing players like Giannis.
Yeah, but like,
you don't see players like Giannis in college.
Yeah, but I know that. But in the same sort of sense, you know, you talk about John Wall, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant. Those guys were insane in college, and they translated. Well, LeBron James wasn't, and Kobe wasn't because they didn't go. They were great in high school, but Anthony Davis was insane in his one and done. So, like, it's not to say that like it's always harder to gauge that sort of thing.
And I'd say Karl Anthony Towns would have been a top 30 player in
exactly.
his rookie season.
It's very close to it. Yeah, he was great.
He was amazing in that rookie season.
He certainly was. So, where does he fit into that narrative? A lot of people are talking about the fact that he could be one of the best number one picks since Anthony Davis. Let's wait and see how that all plays out. But I think Towns has gone under the radar, like you sort of spoke about a little bit, Nick. Where do you think top 30 is a little bit high? Do you think it's a little bit low? Where do you think? What do you think is like? He doesn't get injured at all. His floor is what? I would say top 50. I think he automatically gets into
his floor. Yeah, definitely. It would be a drastic disappointment if he's anything less than a top 50 player in the league.
What about ceiling?
Ceiling could be, I mean, he could just,
I think ceiling
he
for me
could
is
just be seamless.
Yeah.
And the ceiling for me would be exactly what he's doing at college translates exactly in the NBA.
And he just dominates.
So he's getting these steals, he's getting these tremendous blocks.
Yeah.
He's getting like amazing efficiency of his scoring.
And the physical dominance is still there.
Ceiling could potentially be a top 20.
Yeah, I was going to say top 15 even.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of,
that's scary. That is scary.
It's scary and exciting, but what else is also scary and exciting is Brooklyn Bits.
Brooklyn Bits!
Woo!
I thought I'd die. I thought I'd do it.
You could hear it though, Nick. I couldn't hear it.
You bum. Mate.
Yes.
Take it away.
Kevin Durant is more likely to head to Brooklyn than New York in free agency. Do we want to hear the oh, no, we won't play the clip because for those that haven't seen it, check it out on Twitter. It's going around that Kevin Durant has said that he would never go to New York. It's a 2-year-old clip, so obviously it needs to be taken into context. Obviously, I think that he's going to New York.
You know the person that posted?
He was his
Chris Nets. Splash.
Yeah, and he's
instead of Chris Stapp.
Yeah, and he's a Nets fan. He's in New York. He's a writer. But there have been some the rumors have been growing, you know, and I think that credence needs to be given. So like, there's plenty of stuff online. But I'll let you think your thoughts while I open these.
All of these sort of sub headlines where subtext or sub, yeah, you read whatever
subtext
the subtext. Because D'Lo, mate, that's grooming if I ever
hanging
saw.
Hanging out, baby. They're gonna be doing some stuff.
D'Lo gave KD a tour of
BK.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hang around, see what D'Lo can do. It's gonna be fun, mate. It's pretty fun now, Brooklyn way. Williamsburg's a very nice hip place. Think you can fit in there.
That's right. We talked about this probably last week with Kyrie. Oh no, it would have been Durant because all of the speculation with him going to the Knicks, and we both agreed that Brooklyn is a bloody more desirable situation than New York
at
the moment.
If you want some more subtext, his former personal trainer, shooting coach, and friend Adam Harrington is Brooklyn's current director of player development and an assistant coach. His broken foot, which was repaired by Martin O'Malley, is the Nets foot and ankle specialist.
Mm-mm.
So there's another one. And then we had Caris LeVert, who is a known friend, and they've worked out together in off seasons, has said that, and I quote him when he says this, Russell's played at an all-star level. Everybody wants to play with a great point guard, a great floor general, and he's put himself in that conversation for sure. that lessens the load for a guy like Kevin Durant or another superstar who wants to come play with us. They don't want to be the only one on the team, so that's very attractive that D'Angelo is elevating himself to play at that level. I mean, KD, you might as well put on the black and white, baby. It's going to look pretty good.
It would look... I mean, I feel like most people...
Black and white's a wonderful color.
It is. It looks like D'Lo is looking sexy.
So sexy!
In that Nets uniform.
How sexy is he, though? I bring this up on the buzz a lot. It's a bit weird. But he's just such a horribly handsome and good-looking man. I want to look like him for a day and have the swag that he does have. But is he more like the Brooklyn than New York? I mean, I'm going to be objective as possible here. I think that he's already going to New York. So I think that this is an alternative fact. But I think that the Brooklyn narrative could sway him, and the fact that he's moved his business to New York doesn't mean that he can't hang out and play in Brooklyn. So I think that the Nets are within a shot, and I think that, you know, that's saying something.
Yeah, it might be a bit of a legacy thing, you know. A hero at the Knicks is a bigger hero than at the Nets.
A bigger villain as well.
It's very true. Yes. It works both ways.
Yep. JB, team of the week.
JB team of the week.
You're dancing with him right now. You're doing something wrong.
It is an absolute banger. For those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players who have been outstanding in their position over the week just gone. Bit of fun here. We have a JB team, JBT. and we add them all up at the end to give you a JB team winner. And it's not as clear cut as it was last year.
Oh, really? I've been keeping up with the doc. You've been doing well with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Who's that point guard?
Point guard.
Yeah.
No surprises here.
Yeah.
Deloading. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
He's actually a good follow.
He is
a good follow. D'Angelo Russell finished with 44 points, 12 assists, and 4 rebounds, and 4 steals in only 38 minutes during Tuesday's 123-121 victory over the Kings. But that's not the impressive part, mate.
What's the impressive part?
The impressive part is that Russell exploded for a career high in scoring in a comeback win with 27 points in the fourth quarter.
King
alone in only 12 minutes.
Oh, wow.
In only 12 minutes.
It was one of the more remarkable scenes I've ever seen. And listen, and if you want to listen back to the Brooklyn Buzz on that, the emotions from myself, Will Jackson, and Nick Faye are just... We can't comprehend what actually happened. It's
incredible. There was a stat that's just like less than 3% of or something like
no,
that.
No, three 9%. Teams ever out of like 3,000. So it's like
0.8%
or something have done it ever. And now the Nets are like the fourth team to ever out of 4,000. It's absolutely staggering. And we made history. D'Lo made history. It was one of the more... Yeah, it's gonna like that memory will.
It was
stick.
Away as well. It was away. It was in Sacramento.
Yeah, he's insane away. I love the swagger he has, and that memory is gonna linger with me for a very long time. Yeah. But a guy, and I don't think D'Lo's featured on JB team in our since we've you know since its inception. So good to see my boy and a Brooklyn player finally
good
making
on
it on here.
D'Lo, shooting guard, no surprises here. James Harden was monstrous, 61 points, which tied his career high. 19 of 34 from the field. 9 of 13 from 3.
That's
good. Oh, God. 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and an assist. Over 37 minutes.
Too many minutes, Nick?
I mean...
Should he be load managed?
I mean, he said today, he's just like, what is load management? Yeah. You know, the ball's there to be appreciated.
Yeah.
So I'm going to appreciate it right now.
I appreciate the
and
ball
it's a
as
good,
well.
It's a good, you know... Good thing to have, but
I think
in 5 years'
same,
time,
it may not be
come
there.
Back to haunt him.
But it could be 3 years if he keeps playing ball at this level. So I think that the coaches and the general manager need to take a stand of some sort if it means that they have greater success in the postseason.
I mean, this guy is just like almost single-handedly dragged his team from an atrocious start to third in the West right now, which is an incredible effort.
Monsters.
Which I didn't mention in the MVP talk, but it should be stated that he dragged the Rockets from where they were, which was a they started atrociously. Anyway,
they were bad.
It's not about that. James Harden,
61.
Good on you. 61 points.
Well done.
Kawhi Leonard, taking the shooting, small forward.
Speaking of load management.
Yeah. He totaled 37 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, two steals in 36 minutes during Friday's 116-109 loss to the Thunder. Very well done there from Kawhi Leonard, who is on minutes restrictions.
I want to see playoff Kawhi.
Is it minutes restriction or is it like a game, like no back-to-backs? Yeah. And, yeah.
I just want to see playoff Kawhi. That's what I'm really excited about. When that's not a thing. And, you know, he's one of the few guys who I think can match up incredibly well against Golden State. I still remember that first half before Zaza Pachulia. Power forward, please.
Power forward. The ever. And this is a classic.
The MVP?
Potential MVP.
Giannis
Antetokounmpo. And this is a classic Giannis. This is just a stat line that is so him to make JVT in the league. 27 points, 12 of 19 from the field, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal.
This is literally only
28 minutes.
Literally only.
Only 28 minutes he's doing all of this. I'm like, I'm not denying that
he's back from injury.
Damn good.
So,
Yeah, he'd be missing the last two games with an ankle injury that he put on a show against the Heat. So, well done there.
Well done. And center?
Center, Joel Embiid delivered 37 points, 22 rebounds.
That's a lot of rebounds.
And what actually should be stated here as well. JaVale McGee had a 30 and 22 game as well. Like, I was thinking of JB Team of the Week obviously Joel's was better.
Yes, it
so,
was. But it's just the fact that JaVale did it. And
it's JaVale McGee.
Yeah. Also, our two centers both had double-doubles in that game as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
4 assists as well, 1 steal and a block in 41 minutes.
Only.
Against the Celtics. Embiid finally got the best of Al Horford and the Celtics as he not only dominated in terms of box score counting stats, career highs in rebounding, and made free throws. He made 20 of 21.
That's a lot of them.
Which is tremendous. He also helped his team earn a much-needed victory over the Celtics. A lot of playoff feel around that game.
Yep.
A lot of shoving.
That was
not a Marcus Smart move.
It wasn't a Marcus move.
What?
That dead air deserved to be there. Rookie Bosh!
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yeah, so I'm not going to do the spiel because you guys know what Rookie Bosh is. One vote for the third straight game. Marvin Bagley posted 20 points or more for Sacramento, finishing with 22 points on 8 of 16 shooting in a win over Dallas. He had 12 rebounds for his 14th double-double of his rookie campaign, and he also had 4 blocks. He is growing, and he's going to be a really nice player. He's athletic.
Marvin Backley.
Did I write Backley?
You wrote Backley. Anyway.
I copy and paste this from other websites, so...
Poor form, SB Nation.
Yes, it's CBS Sports.
CBS Sports.
Trae Young, 2 votes, scored a team-high 21 points, adding 12 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal in 34 minutes during their loss to the Rockets earlier in the week. And the Don, reclaiming 3 votes, he had 29 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, nice little trip-dub, as well as 3 steals in only 39 minutes. During their OT loss to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Good stuff there. Just a recap. We've got Marvin Bagley, Trae Young, and Luka Doncic.
Marvin I reckon that's Backley.
Backley. I reckon that's been a common theme this year.
Yeah, it has. Trae Young Aiton's been in there a couple Doncic. Times. There's some Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but those three of late have been the form rookies. Jaren Jackson early in the season.
Yes.
But it's been a nice rookie... very nice rookie class, and obviously the next one isn't said to be as good, but we might have to have some existential discussions later in the season about these sort of things.
We don't want Zion Williamson running away with Rookie Watch.
Yeah, I think it'll just be like, what to do 3-2-1-1 like for just his 3 separate performances.
Rookie Watch minus Zion Williamson.
Fair call. Outro.
Alright, mate. I think that just about does it for another week. So we just... Oh, excuse me. Bit gassy. I'd just like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Pods, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is.
Still at 60 followers, Nick!
It doesn't happen overnight, mate. That is solid 2 years of growth.
Oh, wow.
Wherever it is you listen to your podcast, we should be there. We endeavour to put us on Spotify. It's a big platform, but I think it's difficult in Australia.
Yeah.
I think.
No, the races to us.
Yes, Aussies.
Southern Hemisphere's people.
South Africa's getting screwed as well. do us a solid, leave us a rating and review there as well. Helps us out a bunch. Remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.